Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Vimta Labs Limited Q1 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by Systematix Institutional Equities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vishal Manchanda from Systematix Institutional Equities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Aman. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of Systematix Institutional Equities, we welcome you to the Q1 FY24 earnings call of Vimta Labs Limited. We thank the Vimta Labs management for giving us an opportunity to host the call. Today, from the Vimta management team, we have with us Ms. Harita Vasireddi, Managing Director, Mr. Satya Sreenivas Neerukonda, Executive Director, Mr. Narahari Naidu, Chief Financial Officer, and Ms. Sujani Vasireddi, Company Secretary. I'll now hand over the call to the company management for their opening remarks.
Thank you, Vishal. Good morning, and appreciate all those who have joined us now on the FY24's first quarter earnings call. We are pleased to share the quarter's update with you. Before we delve into the updates, let me take you through the general economy and industry landscape. The global economy appears to be stabilizing and turning the corner, yet inflation remains still a pressing concern. While the U.S. economy seems to be moving towards a soft landing, the situation in Europe remains critical, which is impacting the clinical research industry to some extent. Closer to home, the slower growth of the Chinese economy poses potential implications for the global economy. However, there are some reliefs on the cost side, with supply chain hurdles easing. Within the testing, inspection, and certification industry, the trends have been working in our favor, contributing to positive results for the quarter. Stringent government regulations in testing worldwide have driven strong demand in the testing, inspection, and certification market. In the Indian market, the demand across this segment remains robust. However, during the quarter, the food segment was impacted to some extent due to the cyclone we had in Gujarat, which hit the coastline and disrupted shipping traffic in the Indian Ocean. Operations at ports were also suspended for a little while, for some time, till the situation improved. So that kind of impacted our revenues in the food testing. Coming to the quarter updates, our total income for the quarter stood at rupees 841 million, which is 5.1% growth on year-on-year basis. We witnessed growth in all our pharma services. The food business, however, was impacted, like I said, by the cyclone. Our electrical and electronics services also, we saw a nice upward slope. Likewise, in the environment testing also. Diagnostics remained stable. It is worth noting that Q1 is typically a slightly weaker quarter for us, and especially for food as well, but the impact got compounded because of the cyclone, which contributed to further slower growth in food testing than we initially anticipated. I will let our CFO discuss the financials in detail in his commentary. On a positive note, our CapEx plan for the life sciences facility is progressing swiftly, and we are confident of completing the same by end of this year. Once operational, this facility will enhance our capacities in the pharma division, which is currently constrained. This in turn will drive growth in the upcoming years. Our estimated CapEx for the year is around 90 crores, part of which will be allocated towards the building construction, while the rest we will utilize for equipment replacement, upgradation, and any new technology investment. To summarize, the demand environment remains strong, and I'm confident that we will see good sequential as well as year-on-year growth in the coming quarters. With this, I would like to conclude here my opening comments and invite our CFO, Narahari, to discuss the financial highlights for the quarter. Over to you.
Thank you, Ms. Harita. Very good morning to all. Thank you all for joining us for our Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. I would like to walk you through the consolidated financial performance of Vimta Labs for the quarter ended 30th June 2023, after which we can open the floor for question and answers. I'll start with the consolidated financial highlights for the quarter. Total income for Q1 FY24 stood at Rs. 841 million as compared to Rs. 800 million in Q1 FY23. Up 5.1% YOY basis. EBITDA remains strong and with an EBITDA of 252 million in Q1 FY24 as compared to 248 million in Q1 FY23. Growth of close to 2% on a YOY basis. Lower EBITDA growth was on account of higher employee costs to a certain extent, which was a result of EMA increment cycle. EBITDA margins for the quarter stood at 30%. Profit per tax in Q1 FY24 stood at Rs. 122 million as compared to Rs. 120 million in Q1 FY23, a growth of 1.3% on a YOY basis. Lower PAT growth was owing to higher depreciation expense during the quarter, which was out of CapEx addition which we made during Q4 and Q1. PAT margin for the quarter stood at 14.5%. On the balance sheet side, we continue to have net debt-free balance sheet with cash and cash equivalents, including other bank deposits of Rs. 285 million. Our total debt stands at Rs. 137 million as on 30th June 2023. Working capital during the quarter remained stable. We incurred capex of 218 million during the quarter, while our capex projection for the full year would be around Rs. 900 million. Which includes our project capex of close to 600 million. Before I conclude, I would like to highlight that we continue to repay debt, and our total debt as of 30th June 2023 is at Rs. 137 million, resulting in a very healthy debt to equity ratio of 0.05x. With that, we can now open the floor for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and 1 at this time. The first question is from the line of Dhwanil Desai from Turtle Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good morning, ma'am. So my first question is that you talked about the
production. Dhwanil, your audio is not very clear. Please use the handset mode.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead, please.
Yeah. Ma'am, my first question is you talked about disruption on the food side because of the cyclone. Any way you can quantify that number, in either in terms of revenue or number of days of risk, disruption or number of tests, whichever way?
Unfortunately, I won't be able to do that, although we have that information because of the confidentiality in this kind of information. And that's an understanding we have with our partner.
Okay. So, is it safe to say that had it not been there, we would have grown by 12-15% YOY basis?
The slight step that we see would have actually been much, much better, for sure.
Got it. Second question, ma'am, is I think in the AGM we talked about that we reaffirmed our guidance of doing 500 crore plus in FY25, FY26, and also with some improved margins. If we want to achieve those numbers, we need to grow at 15-18%. So for the rest of the year, we need to grow at a substantially higher rate, maybe 90 crore kind of a quarter. Are we positioned for that?
Our efforts are definitely on for that. Coming to the 500 crore target that we have, we are very confident that we are on the mark. So typically, like I said, Q1 is slightly challenging, but then Q2 onwards, it gets better. Q3 much better, and then Q4 is even that's how it is. So
Okay. And ma'am, any updates on the NFL scale up? How it is progressing quarter on quarter? Do you see any uptick with respect to your own projections? Where you are? Some color on that.
We are pursuing continuously with the government body. So efforts are on, but we are yet to see a very good outcome out of those efforts. So we will continue.
Okay. So even without that scale up of the required level, we are confident of doing 500 crore?
Yes.
Okay. And essentially, then the push is coming from the pharma side, right? That is what will be the driving the growth for us to take to 500 crore.
Food also, because we are not entirely dependent only on the NFL revenues. We have our other core food testing business, which is growing healthily year on year.
Okay. Got it. I have more questions. I'll come back.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aman from Aman Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sure. Thank you, ma'am, for having my questions. Am I audible, sir?
Yes, please go ahead.
Perfect. So I have three questions. First, regarding our testing business, as you have mentioned in the last investor call, we are getting a good traction from TIC sector. So are we associated with any standard boards in India for these testing of automotives, energy segments, liquids, oil and gas, pharmaceuticals?
No, we are not associated with any boards.
Okay, you're not associated. Okay, ma'am. Just a follow-up. Are we seeing, how is the traction being seen in this quarter, ma'am, compared to the previous quarter?
We are seeing better traction. Pharma also, we envisage better traction. Food may continue to have that counter effect, because there is still a lot of rains in the country, and that does impact some food testing business.
Oh, okay. And just a follow-up, I think it might not affect our business, but just wanted to know your view on it. As government is also reducing the subsidies on the fertilizer segments, and the prices are also normalizing as compared to the last year, and also the government is planning to lift the embargo of the fertilizer, do we see any downfall in the testing samples or being affected in our business volumes or profitability going forward?
I don't envisage that impacting us directly. The inflation aspect could have some impact in general, but not on us directly.
Okay, ma'am. And are our costs also normalizing as the bank rates are? I think bank rates have come to a level where they are going to gradually reduce. Are our cost also, like employee cost, we have seen an increment in that. Can you, will it normalize going forward to achieve this 500 crore turnover and our 30% EBITDA margins?
Employee costs have gone up significantly after COVID. I'm hoping that they would stabilize around this level. Coming to bank rates, we actually, in fact, enjoy pretty good rates from the bankers.
What is the average interest rate, ma'am?
Are we allowed to share that, Narahari?
So that should not be a problem. So our average interest rate is around 9% currently. but we are still working to optimize.
And also, just to follow, what is an incremental employee cost we have seen? Because you said it's a yearly cycle, or the cycle is going on. What was the percentage of increment of those costs?
Percentage of increment, we are on par with the industry. The industry has seen around 7 to 8%, and ours is also around that same level.
Okay. Ma'am, just talking about the business part, as last investor call you had mentioned, we are seeing the HLM, OEM, diagnostic business, we are planning to reach out to other cities as well. But still, it's in the maturing stage, as mentioned rightly by you. What do you see the traction going forward? Are we seeing the diagnostics to be in every part of the city, India cities, like branching out except Hyderabad and Telangana?
We are pushing forward on our strategy to have more HLMs and LOMs. So that continues for us. But our direct presence as Vimta, that's something that we are not pursuing.
Okay. Ma'am, any range, because it might not be an exact figure you would be able to say, give me, but any range of revenue pool are we targeting going forward in these diagnostic businesses? Because it's a 25 to 30% of our total profitability.
No, I won't be able to share that because we don't give out segmentalized revenues.
Okay, ma'am. And just wanted to understand your part on this business. Like you had said, large molecules, which are turning out to be a good one. Are you seeing a separate business, or are you seeing some businesses revolving around these large molecules which you're particularly interested in?
Yes. All the top...
Can you just comment on it a little elaborately so we can understand what type of business model will be built around it?
The business model will be similar to what we have around the small molecules, wherein we cater right from preclinical services to clinical research services. And of course, the entire analytical component end-to-end, that is what we support on. So for large molecules also, it will be the same services, from preclinical to clinical research.
Okay, is it directly related to pharma, or will it be into research and development kind of thing?
It's pharma only.
It's pharma only. Okay, ma'am. Yes. And are we tied up with someone with the research? Can you, if you cannot name them, but can you just tell me the overall revenue pool and the profitability going forward in those sectors?
Profitability is much better for the large molecules. I won't be able to give specific numbers there.
Okay. Ma'am, any range which we are targeting, because 500 crores requires us to do 120 to 125 crores quarterly. So any numbers which you can quantify, sir, with our same EBITDA margins, we'll be able to reach those numbers.
EBITDA margins, as I had explained before, with the scale-up in economy, we want to try and better them by at least 200 basis points. While as we reach towards our 500 mark.
Thank you, Aman. May I request you to join the queue for any follow-up, as we have several participants waiting for their turn. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Omkar Kamtekar from Bonanza Portfolio. Please go ahead.
I wanted to know what...
Omkar, there's some disturbance in your line. Your line is not very clear.
Okay, perfect.
Hello, am I audible now?
Much better. Yeah, please.
Okay. So, wanted to know what is the cash flow from operations, the number for the cash flow from operations, if it can be shared.
Yeah, so during the quarter, our cash generation is close to 17 crores arising out of operations.
Okay, and the 90 crore capex that we are going to incur during the year, the capex incurred during Q1 of 21.8 crores. So the 90 crores was, so this was part of the 90 crores, or the 90 crores is going to be over and above for the new plant that we are incurring?
So this 90 crores would be inclusive of our project capex, which we had earlier mentioned, with a budget of 60 crores. So the 90 crores include 50 crores, what we are estimating to be incurred for the project building, and 40-45 crores would be for general capex funding.
Okay. And with respect to the debt reduction, so we reduced the debt by approximately 1.3 odd crores. We had a substantial amount of cash. So wanted to understand though debt equity and everything is very much under control, why have we not acceleratedly reduced the debt when we do have the cash and the reserves in place? Just wanted to understand the reason behind that.
Yeah, so our plan is to fund the capex out of our internal accruals. So the existing cash balance would be largely used to fund our project capex, and also we are estimating a good amount of cash accruals over the period of next 9 months. So whatever the cash surplus which we have, the majority would go into project funding.
Okay. And finally, is it possible for you to give what portion of the total revenue come from domestic meat from India and from exports? So I just want to understand if that the revenue breakup geographically can be given. So how much export revenue are we generating or domestic revenue?
So our mix typically is in the range of 25% to 30%. So that is continued during quarter one as well.
So 25% is exports, you are saying?
Yeah, exports of 25% to 30%. That has been the trend over the past few financial years, and we have seen it continued in Q1 as well.
Okay, so are we planning to increase that share, or we are we satisfied at the moment with the current situation?
We want to definitely grow exports. That's our endeavor.
Okay. And the margin profile in the export business, how are they? I mean, are they better than the domestic businesses?
Better.
Okay. Thank you. I'll get back into it.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of VP Rajesh from Banyan Capital. Also, participants, please enter star and one to ask a question.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Just a few questions, as some of them have been already answered. So in terms of the vertical split for the revenue this quarter, if you can give some color as to how much came from pharma/life sciences versus foods versus diagnostics and any other?
We don't provide the split of the revenues. It's treated as one segment.
Okay. And any commentary on the electronics business? How is that coming along?
As I mentioned in my opening remarks, we see a nice upward slope in electronics testing, especially the EMI, EMC testing.
Okay. And ma'am, is this semiconductor talks that are going on about India getting a fab, etc., how do you think about that opportunity? Is it going to increase our business on the electronic side, or it's too early to talk about that?
Definitely. They would be one of our customers.
Okay. And as the EMS businesses are becoming more public here in India, and that particular business is growing, so that should also be positive for us. Is that correct?
Sorry, I didn't understand. What was that? EMS, is it?
Yeah. Electronic manufacturing segment, which is... those kind of businesses are coming up now quite a bit. At least a few of them got public in the last 12 months. So I was just curious, are those type of companies also our customer or potential customers?
Yes, all the electronic goods, let it be a home appliance or an industrial appliance or a telecom product or a Wi-Fi product or a defense component, all these products would need EMI, EMC testing.
Okay. And finally, for this year, what kind of growth expectations you have over the last year?
For the whole company, you mean?
Yes, for the whole company. I'm just trying to get a sense that, given you talked about how the Q1 was expected by one-offs, I'm just curious if that metric has changed for us, or are you still thinking of the growth as you were before this Q1?
We are firm on our intent to maintain the growth rates, given the small capacity constraints that we have. I wouldn't say actually small, that's significant. This year, we may not be able to push much more, But next year, onwards, where we'll have more capacities, we are thinking the growth will be at a much higher pace.
Okay. And if it's fair to conclude from your comments that the ports food business that you said could be perhaps a little weak in Q2 as well, will pick up in Q3 and Q4, or how should one think about the uptake on that business?
Yeah, Q2 so far we have crossed the month of July. July has not seen any upturn in food. That was the reason I made that comment.
Right. But is it seasonally weak as well, or this is also an aberration? That's what I'm trying to understand.
Yeah, seasonally also it is a little weak, but we see it more weaker this time. And we think it's largely because of the disruptions that have been caused by rains in many parts of India.
Got it. Okay, thank you so much. And I'll get back in the queue if I have more questions. Thanks a lot.
Welcome.
Thank you. A reminder to our participants, please press star and one to ask a question. The next question is on the line of Prateek Kothari from Unique Portfolio Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Ma'am, on this question on food again, so is it that because of this disruption, the samples which were picked out to test have reduced or let go of in the timing?
We don't know exactly what the reasons could be, but the inflow of samples into NFL and even from our other routine customers is typically low in Q1 because they are still new in their budget. So samples come out only maybe around Q2. But in Q2 also, we are yet to see all that firing up, from different customers. So hopefully things will change in the next couple of months.
So you're seeing a slowdown in samples or shipments at the port level itself, or just to us?
Both. We see this in both places.
Correct. And if you can just talk about broadly the demand environment that we are seeing currently in our pharma and diagnostic business.
Demand is very strong in pharma. Diagnostics also, it's growing quite nicely, quite disrupted at the moment, a lot of players. In both segments, there are ample opportunities. Pharma, we are more upbeat about the opportunities that we have because they are a very good match for our capabilities. And our expansions are also pharma-focused. And we see good opportunities coming for clinical research as well as preclinical, and a lot of analytical work also coming our way. Of course, there is a good number of competition also. So there is a counter effect from competition as well. But overall, I think we enjoy a very good position in the market. We are well-known, reputed, respected in the pharma industry. And we are a very, we are the preferred choice of CRO for many companies. We enjoy strong partnerships in this industry. So the demand is good, and we are also upbeat about our own ability to take advantage of such a demand in pharma.
Right. So in the short term, our capacity would be a constraint on this demand upbeat that you're seeing. But I believe from next year onwards, that should play out well.
Yeah, the constraints are not 360 degrees. There are some avenues where we are still able to have ample capacities. But there are some important segments where the capacities are quite constrained. So both situations exist for us.
Correct. And just a reclarification of the comment earlier, so X of food, our growth still was double digit.
From Q on Q?
Yeah, from quarter one of last year to this quarter one, year on year.
Yes. The growth definitely has been in double digits.
Thank you, and all the best, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Dhwanil Desai from Turtle Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, ma'am. Thanks for the opportunity again. Ma'am, just one clarification. You talked about some capacity constraints, but a very strong demand environment. So is it one of the likely scenarios that, you know, we may not be able to get the business while the demand is strong, while and the next year when capacity comes back with us, you know, the demand environment might have changed. So, or is that the project that we are kind of bidding for or talking about with customers are of the nature where actual fructification of that into revenue will happen next year and we'll be able to utilize the capacity? Can you give some color on that?
Demand, I don't think, will go up and down. I think it is continuously growing. We have a temporary constraint, which we will be addressing. So by Q4 of this year, we will have those additional capacities. And I want to reiterate that there is not a constraint everywhere. There are constraints in some services, but then there are also services which we have ample capacities to push. So we will be just fine-tuning the way we work on our pipelines.
Okay, okay. And also, can you give some idea about the status of the CapEx? I think it was to be operationalized in Q4, right, by end of Q3 and Q4. So after you operationalize, do you need any certification or any kind of regulatory clearances, and how long it will take for us to actually start utilizing that facility?
It's in the same campus where we have our current pharma infrastructure. So we won't be needing any additional approvals from anyone. But there will be a lot of validation activity that will go on of the infrastructure as well as the equipment that we will be, you know, shifting from one building to another. So there will be a lot of time that goes into validations. That could take 2 to 3 months.
Okay. So actual utilization will come in FY25.
Yeah, we want to see a little bit of it coming in Q1 itself, hopefully, but definitely by next year.
Okay. Got it. Thanks. That's it from me.
Thank you. The next question is from Alisha Mahala from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, ma'am. Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity. I just wanted to understand this capacity increase that we're doing for the pharma segment. Are we expecting it to come on stream in Q3 or Q4 and then the validation of 2-3 months? So when is the capacity coming and then the validation?
The capacity for us is three-dimensional. One is the space itself, and the second one is the equipment. Third is people. So what we are doing now is adding more space, because today we are completely maxed out on space. Now, the space that we are building is almost double of what we have right now. It's not that we are going to use the whole space right away. So we will be increasing the space as and when there is a demand for, you know, more work. So that's when we'll add more people and more equipment. So it's not something that's like a switch that we will switch on once the building is available. It will be gradual like before, but so far the constraint has been space, and this constraint will be removed once we have that new facility.
This space will be available from Q4.
The space will be available from Q4.
And then we'll get in the equipment and the validation. So that should take another 2-3 months after that.
Yeah, not everything will take 2-3 months, because we will be doing it in a phased manner.
Got it. So then growth for the current year on the pharma side, like you mentioned earlier in the call also, there is a slight capacity constraint. Food in Q1 was impacted, Q2 also because of excessive rain. Currently is looking kind of weird. So on full year basis, how confident are we of achieving a double-digit growth, which will be critical for achieving the revenue target of 500 crores?
We are very confident.
Will it be possible for you to give some color on what segments will it come from? Or because you even have a slide in your presentation where you've given industry growth rates, and none of the segments seem to have a higher than 10-11% growth rate, but we're talking of significantly higher growth rate. So any color on where are we expecting the growth to come from?
The industry is very large, the numbers are massive, and even a small percentage there means a lot more opportunities for companies of our size. And pharma is going to drive the growth in addition to food. Food, we see this as a temporary aberration. So late Q2 onwards, it should start doing better. So pharma and food will continue to drive the growth. We also have environment and our electronics business, although they are not a big portion of our revenue pie, they'll also, you know, add to the growth. So we are at the moment not concerned with the growth rate for this year. I'm very confident we can maintain what we saw in the previous years.
And just one last question. Can we get a revenue breakup of how much comes from electronics and environment?
Unfortunately, I won't be able to share that because we present all our numbers under one segment only.
Even something directionally, a ballpark, just to get some sense.
Ballpark is around 60% from pharma and 40% from non-pharma.
That's helpful. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of MK Reddy. As an individual investor, please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, ma'am. Thanks for the opportunity. My question is regarding the some of the investment which has been done in the previous year, which has been not yet been rectified for us. For example, investment in the NPT of
voice is very low and it's not clear to us.
Hello, can I? Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, ma'am. Regarding this investments of JNPT of 10 crores and the investment in EMIC of 40 crores, and we also set up this COCOS source for the clinical diagnostics. Just want to understand what is the ramp up in this, because we had an aspiration target of 500 crores by FY26.
So coming first to the MFL, which is in JNPT, the return on investment is quite healthy. Despite the lower volumes that we are seeing currently, even at this level, the lab is making a decent profit. Now, EMI EMC is a new baby. It will take some time to mature, and we expect to see a good ramp up this year itself. And next year onwards, we might even have to add a little bit on the capacity side with respect to the chambers. So the industry is also very upbeat, especially in Telangana. We see a lot of investments in this area. So that's actually a very good kind of environment for our services. Coming to the third one on diagnostics, it's not at all CapEx-related investment. It's more on leasing some space and putting some people and rental equipment there. So the investments are not significant.
Yeah, with respect to our wholly owned subsidiary, MTAC Laboratories,
yeah,
which in annual reports has reported a turnover of 56 crores, and we have been talking about this subsidiary since past 3 years. So just want to your view on this and will be your ramp on this.
Yeah, MTAC is doing well. We wanted to first bring the company to a stable state in terms of its customer base, and which it enjoys as of now. We haven't really pressed the company much in terms of revenues by infusing a lot of capital there. So that we will do now. Gradually, I think we will start significantly in this year and then ramp up. Because so far, when we took over the company, we took over with some minimum assets, and we have been trying to ramp up the sale with the same assets. Now we have a little more grip on the operations and the market, and stronger relationships within the market. So we will be investing there and also pushing that organization for higher revenues.
Yeah, can I assume that this 50 crores, 10 crores from GMPT, and this phase one capex investment for EMIC, and this acquisition cost for impact are subpar utilized, or maybe not be ramped up as per our expectation?
Now, MTAC and EMC are both, you know, new businesses for us. We think that they will take a few years to mature. The market is just building around us. and it will take a few years. So whenever Vimta has invested, it has invested with a foresight. It has been ahead of the curve. So we go in ahead of others. We try to, you know, establish our leadership position before a lot of competition enters the market. And that's our strategy even for EMIMC. So we got to have some patience with, you know, the return here. But we think this is this can easily be scaled up to another 100 crore service of ours, just like, you know, food and pharma.
Yeah, in annual report, I also think there's some amount of advance we are receiving from customers. Just want to know what is the nature of these advances, was it for pharma projects or any other non-pharma projects, non-pharma.
You want to take that, Narhari?
Sorry, your question is not clear. Can you please repeat for me?
Yeah. In our annual report, there are some amount of advances we are receiving from customers to the tune of 54 crores. Just want to understand what is the nature of these advances and was it related to pharma projects or non-pharma?
So basically, few of the pharma projects we work on advance basis. So the advances received are largely pertaining to pharma. And this is part of our cash generation during the quarter, which is part of the operating cash flow, which we will be investing whatever the cash accruals, as I mentioned earlier. So we'll be using it to fund our, you know, project capex. And if there is any surplus left over, then we'll be investing in other capex.
And another question is regarding this pricing for pharma projects. Is it fixed price projects or fee for services or number of scientific person employed and time taken on those projects?
So the pricing is not fixed for us. It is very subjective. The pricing differs. The model differs for each project for us.
Yeah. Regarding this food, man, which has been some hyper growth phase in past few years, we have done this major capex prior before 2018. Just want to know, is there any intention of setting up any food labs for the scaling of this business?
We don't intend to set up any more food labs, at least not in this year.
Thank you, Mr. Reddy. May I request you to join the queue for any follow-up? The next question is from the line of Omkar Kamtekar from Bonanza Portfolio. Please go ahead.
Hello, I'm audible?
Yes.
Okay. A small update with respect to the capacity utilization. Can you give us a ballpark figure of the overall capacity utilization blended level?
I won't be able to give a specific answer on that, honestly.
Can you just give us a small elaboration on the China issue that you had mentioned in the opening remarks with respect to specifically the ag food and agricultural services? Because even a few of the fertilizer companies who have whose results were declared in the recent quarter have had some impact of the dumping from the China product in the agricultural space. So with respect to that, can you please give some understanding of how China can create a issue in that specific area?
Our exports have remained quite stable. And they are stable, I'm assuming, because of a stable demand from outside our country. So what our fee is the testing fee. So it depends on, what is going out of the country in terms of the quantity of exports. So our fees won't get impacted if the demand for the export remains stable.
Okay. And finally, with respect to the capex, so generally what I have seen that approximately, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, it would take approximately 3 to 4 years for the entire capex of the new plant to mature. And we are looking at approximately a fixed asset turnover of in the range of 1.7 to 2 times. So say when the project becomes completely online and it is working at full capacity, the new capex plant would somewhere region would generate on its own 180 crores, and the overall total revenue, say 3 years, 4 years down the line might exceed 600 to 700 crores. Would that be a fair assumption, including on top of the total?
Mathematically, your numbers seem to be good, but we have to actually implement our strategies and see how that goes. Once we touch our 500 crores, our next step will be 1,000 crores. So we will be stepping up our efforts.
Okay, okay. And finally, on the margin front, the margin that you had said that we look at a 200 basis point increase in the margin over the next few years. So that would be a best case scenario or a base case scenario?
I think given what we see now, that could be a possible case scenario with high
base case.
High possibility.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
I would like to clarify one thing here. So our capex to sales ratio is typically in the range of 1 to 1.1. So because you mentioned 1.7 to 1.8, so which is on a higher side, just want to correct on that.
Oh, sorry. I was looking at from the fixed asset concern, net block. So I'm looking from a net block perspective. So your net block currently is 168 crores. So on that, if I take, so on a gross block level,
you might be computing the same on the capex additions as well. That's the reason.
Yes.
Yeah,
so, sure. One one is to 1.1 on a gross level. That makes more sense. But
yes.
I got the. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Aman from Aman Investments. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. I think I'm audible again. Ma'am, just quick question and a last, finally, I'll make a request. Ma'am, just wanted to understand, we have recently added this patient segment also, like where we'll be analyzing, we'll be having certain chambers to just analyze patients and take data, read data on it. Which sector are we feeling that to happen, ma'am? Is it in the medicine sector, or is it in testing, or are we planning it to phase it out to other sectors, or are we going to be a research organization for other companies to do their tests?
The beginning part of your question was not audible to me.
Ma'am, it's nothing. Just quick questions, and finally a request which I'll make.
Yeah.
I just wanted to understand the patient segment. As you rightly, as you pointed out in the last conference call, you had developed a new patient or chamber where you'll be analyzing patients, taking surveys, taking other details, and just using those data on certain things. But just wanted to understand what is the vision of that development.
No, I don't really understand. Maybe I'm not able to correlate what you're asking.
So next, I just wanted to understand our, like last week in the conference call, you mentioned like one of our competitors does CDMO business as well. Do we have any plans, any projections or possibility of it to be our vertical as well?
As of now, no.
Okay, ma'am. Ma'am, as also mentioned by you, we are doubling our capacities. Do we see any, or have we got any letter of interest or long-term contracts to just make these figures sustainable in future?
We don't need anything like that. No, we have never depended on those things so far.
Okay.
Okay,
ma'am. And in pharma, are we dependent on certain few companies, or is it diversified into government,
well,
private sector?
Yeah, it's mostly private sector in pharma.
It's mostly private sector.
There's no government sector.
There is no government. And are we planning to bring governments on board, central, state?
No.
Okay. I just wanted to understand the CapEx which we have planned for this year, because there is a huge debate going around what will be the CapEx be done on the building land. Now, has the land already been purchased for the doubling the capacity, or it's going to be purchased?
It's in the existing land where we have
existing land.
Yeah, facility. Yeah.
Okay. And the building will be constructed for 30 odd crores on that.
60 crores.
Okay, 60 crores will be constructed and will be doubling our capacity. Now, also just one request to make. Can we have, if possible, with the moderators also for the time, and secondly, with the management for their exclusive judgments, because can we have an open forum for investors, which we are at least some 2 days or 3 days, where investors can actually come physically and see the complexities and of the machineries, at least understand the business model, understand the opportunity which Vimta has Because as you rightly pointed out last investor call, that during Bangladesh and all, Vimta is building its brand, which is more important in nowadays, where brand has its own value, so that we can get to know the legacy which SP sir has also built. Can we consider that as a request from all the investors? At least
yeah,
at least they can have an open forum where 1 or 2 days investors can physically come, and the management will also be willingly participated in the investor discussions.
Yeah, I'll actually make it better than that for you.
Okay,
you can
sure.
Come anytime. Yeah.
Okay, we can come anytime. Okay, sure, ma'am. Sure. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that would be our last question for today. I now hand the conference back to the management for their closing remarks. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you all for participating in the call today. I appreciate all the good questions that you've had. I also wish to place on record my thanks to Systematics and Vishal to you, and also our partner ENY. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Systematics Institutional Equities, that concludes today's call. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.